علي بن أبي طالب says, أنا البخيل وأنت الجواد. يا الله, you are the generous, I am the stingy. Now imagine, if Ali ibn Abi Talib says he is the stingy, then where does it put us? That's why, even on this note, some people come forward today and attack the speakers who represent Ahlul Bayt in Muharram and Ramadan. Many of the Arabic speakers, the English speakers, speakers of different cultures, people attack them. Why? They say, why do these people charge so much money? People come forward, they write, why do people charge so much money? These people are part of the stingy, that we have a disease in our community, these people. The ones who attack speakers who charge high money. Why? Do you know why? Number one, these same people will go and watch a film and spend sometimes $35 on a film, same people. But when it comes to a speaker, they find it hard why they should pay big amounts towards a speaker. These same people will go and watch a sports match, they will go and watch a sports match and pay the money. But when it comes for a speaker, for Aba Abdullah al-Hussein, they find it hard. Why do speakers get paid so much? I remember al-marhum Sheikh al-Wa'ili, may Allah bless his soul. People would speak out against him. Why? That he receives that much money. When you've given 3,173 lectures on the internet, don't you deserve a little bit of the work that you have done? A little bit? The stinginess is still there in our communities, where people's alloy wheels cost more than a speaker gets in Muharram. And the cars they have are the most expensive cars. But when it comes towards the speaker for Ahlul Bayt, we are stingy. And this is a disease that has to stop. And it has to stop quickly. Because the more stingy a community is, and this is a community, alhamdulillah, with generosity. But there are communities in the world today, the stingy of the stingy, when it comes to paying people who serve Al-Muhammad. Imam al-Hussein, one day a person came, he taught his son, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Do you know what Imam al-Hussein did to that person? He gave him what is known as a mouthful of pearls. And he gave him hundreds of robes. Someone came to the Imam and said, Imam, why is it that you give a person that much? All he has done is teach your son, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, nothing else. Why do you give him this much? He said, when a person teaches us a verse of the Quran, that person should be rewarded as much as we can give them. Whereas in the world today, when it comes to the speakers, people wonder 100 times when they hear speakers charge big money. And the biggest problem sometimes is not the people. Sometimes the problem is the speaker. Meaning what? Meaning there are some speakers who will come forward and say, I'm not going to charge. You give me whatever you can give me. These speakers are the disease. Why? Agree a contract beforehand. Because if you don't agree a contract beforehand, you will end up leaving a community disappointed. Some people today attack speakers because they say speakers charge before they recite. Of course you have to charge. Islam says do not rely on verbal agreements. Write things on paper and then you will be given. Therefore the first area is what? The first area is stinginess. In contrast to generosity.
I feel obligated to say a few words regarding the announcement that was made before I began my speech. Muharram lectures should not be a business for people to make money. To bargain prices on how much you would be paid to speak here or there, or even to think about the payment for doing a responsibility that Allah has put on our shoulders, is very wrong. I feel sorry for those who do so. And I hope that nobody treats me like that. And if the boxes are going around to collect money for that purpose, I hope they don't go around again.
ثم لم يزدد من الدنيا زهدا لم يزدد من الله إلا بعدا. One who increases in knowledge and then that knowledge does not increase him in his detachment from the world, does not increase in anything except his distance from God. We quoted a verse of Quran again in a previous session from Surah Al-Jathiyah, chapter 45, verse 23, where Allah says, أَفَرَأَيْتَ مَنِ اتَّخَذَ إِلَاهَهُ هَوَاهُ. Have you then seen him whose lust is his God? That verse, when it continues, it says, وَأَضَلَّهُ اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ عِلْمٍ. Have you seen him whose lust is his God, and God has now misled him upon his knowledge? That means one whose lust is his God is not misled because he is ignorant and doesn't know the truth. No, ala ilmin, wa adallahu Allahu ala ilmin. He has knowledge, but despite the knowledge, he is led astray. Why? Because his God is his lust. Because he chooses attachment to the world other than choosing attachment to Allah. Which therefore tells us then that knowledge. Do not see someone, do not see me sitting on this pulpit and say, he is learned, he can quote verses of Quran, he knows more than I do. If I am addicted and if I am not more detached from the world than you, then I am jahil, you are alim. Islam's yardstick of ilm and jahala. That is why we must keep our fitrah alive. Our fitrah, we said, is our compass that constantly points to Allah. Allah has...
First of all, it is important to remember that an alim must be a person who fulfills three conditions. First of all, ilm, and second of all, taqwa, and then the basirat. It is important that we invite those of the scholars who fulfill these three conditions. Let's not invite the unqualified people. Why did Imam Hassan alayhi salam ask the zalim of his time, get off the minbar of my father? So there are conditions that need to be met for anybody who sits on the minbar or stands in the mihrab. And we need to make sure that the person we are inviting fulfills those conditions and he's ahl. He deserves to be called a scholar and deserves to be invited.